Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So are you hungry? Probably depends whether you had breakfast or not, right? One of my personal policies is to never go grocery shopping if I'm hungry, because if I do, I will definitely come back with a lot more than I set out for. We all know what it feels like to be hungry, but we don't always all know what we're really hungry for. Ever have this conversation in your house? Honey, you hungry? Oh yeah, I'm starved. What do you want to eat? I don't know. More than 3,000 years ago, a famous king chronicled his quest to satisfy a hunger that he felt deep within. He built a palace so opulent it staggered world leaders. He accumulated innumerable jewels and possessions. He pursued advanced studies and a different woman every night. He left no stone unturned. He was determined to fill the void. Yet this is where he ended up. I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. He had invested so much energy, so much time, and still that hunger remained. Within every human being, we find a fundamental dis-ease, a hunger that resides in the marrow of our bones, in the deep recesses of our souls. This hunger drives our lives, as Thoreau once said, to live in quiet, and sometimes not so quiet, desperation. As we're searching to find that one thing, that whatever it is, the new job, the new diet, the new home, the new friendship, the new relationship, the new high, whatever it is that will help us feel that we finally found this something greater that we hunger for. Now, as with Solomon, this hunger, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, is part of what fuels our life quests. Many of which, of course, are good and noble. Planning scenic vacations, undertaking creative projects, developing aesthetic rigors, watching stunning cinematic productions, attending national sports extravaganzas, perhaps training ourselves to be more successful, whatever it is we're pursuing in life. Some of these quests, however, are not so noble. Sexual conquests, overindulging in alcohol, trying to climb the corporate ladder at any cost, accumulating more and more stuff. But finally, whatever we pursue, and however much of ourselves we sacrifice in that pursuit, the hunger still remains. That's because all of these things, though in some confused way, they may point us to the real thing, they may give us a taste of the real thing, they are not the real thing. Nothing in this world is going to truly satisfy us because we weren't created for this world. We were created for something, for someone greater and beyond this world. St. Augustine said, "Lord, you made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Now, to help us see how true that is, Augustine proposes this thought experiment. He says, imagine this. God comes to you and he says, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you anything and everything you want. Pleasure, power, money, freedom. I'll give you even peace of mind and a good conscience. Nothing will be sin. Nothing will be forbidden. Nothing will be impossible for you. You will never grow bored and you will never die. Just one thing. If you take this deal, you will never see my face. Now, did you notice a chill run deep through you when it came to that just one thing part? And up until that point, I mean, this deal resonates with us. It seems like exactly what we'd want on the surface, right? But for God to say, you will never see my face. Eventually, King Solomon came to understand the real deal. Ecclesiastes 3, he says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Humankind was created by the eternal Lord to live with, to be in relationship with Him. And until we get there, there is this longing. And that's what Solomon is talking about when he talks about setting eternity in the hearts of men. Now, of all people, we who call ourselves God's people ought to understand that, right? Yet why is it that we continue to find ourselves pursuing empty, temporary, backfire pursuits rather than trying to fill this void with the one thing that can truly satisfy? An Old Testament man of God named Isaiah asked the same question. Why do you spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Not long afterward, God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. Same bewitched behavior. He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. C.S. Lewis once said, we are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. Infinite joy is offered us. Yet instead of basking in that joy, we are far too easily pleased with the counterfeits that Satan and this world have to offer. We reject the fountain of living water and try to drink instead from broken, dried up cisterns. Why would we do that? Well, if you're looking for a rational answer, there is none. For that matter, there is nothing rational, is there, about any of the paths that Satan and sin lure us down. But that's the heart of the problem, isn't it? It's sin. Sin corrupts our thinking. Sin keeps us from seeing, makes us forget who and what we were truly made for. And the consequences are tragic. Yet here's the thing. Even though we so often fail to recognize who or what we are truly hungering for, that does not in any way alter God's hunger for you and for me. He remains the Father who's waiting anxiously, expectantly for us to come to our senses to remember where our family and where true infinite joy is really found. And it doesn't matter how many times we have rejected Him for the sparkly things He has made, how far we have wandered from Him, or how long we've been gone. He is longing to run after us and embrace us, to put His arm around our shoulder, and to walk with us as we make this journey through. through life. He wants to know our thoughts, our dreams, our fears, everything. Because that is what he created us for. Now, I understand that that can be hard to believe, that some of us here today are thinking, who am I that God should hunger and thirst for me? Well, if we were to ask God today, you know, what does he really think of you? This
is what he might say. You are the one I formed and fashioned in your mother's womb. You are the one I sent my son into the world to die for. It was my son's hunger to be restored to a meaningful relationship with you that filled him with the courage and determination to carry and endure the cross. Our relationship is so important, I choose to give you his body and blood as a sign and testament of my commitment to you. You are the one that I have filled with a hunger and a thirst that cannot be satisfied by anything in this world. A hunger and a thirst that beckons you to remember that you were made for me.
You were made for me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Listen to the powerful way that God's people have expressed their hunger for God. In Psalm 63, David says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Psalm 73, Asaph sings, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Our greatest hunger is for God. So why doesn't Jesus just go out and say that, right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God. Well, actually, that's what Jesus is saying. Just the way he chooses to say it, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, helps us see even more clearly what it is we really hunger and thirst for. So what is righteousness? I want you to imagine that you've had a friend your whole life, that this friend's thoughts, ideas, encouragement mean the world to you. This friend has had your back your entire life, and you've had your friend's back. But then one day, for some bizarre reason, you choose to betray your friend's trust by revealing something to someone else that you promised you would never reveal. Now, even though you have this lifelong friendship, that one betrayal of trust has changed that relationship. You have done something wrong, and you have lost the right to be your best friend's best friend. In the spiritual realm, righteousness is doing everything right so that we are all right in our relationship with God. But we live after the fall in a broken world where we cannot do everything right, where our lack of righteousness separates us from, destroys our relationship with God. And thus we have this hunger. And I believe that on a certain level, everyone feels this hunger. Otherwise, why would every other religion in the world make it their focus to find the right things to make us right once again with God? But God's message to us in the Bible is so different from all the other religions in the world, and even from secular philosophy, because God's word says that what we're really hungering for is not our righteousness, but God's. Romans 3:21 talks about a righteousness from God apart from law. When Luther found this righteousness, it satisfied his hunger. You see, this is the righteousness that we truly long for, because this is the only righteousness that can reconnect us with God. This is Jesus' righteousness. This is the perfect life that he lived for us, the innocent death he died on the cross. This is forgiveness and reconciliation that he won for us. This righteousness is God's free gift to us. And because it is perfect, Jesus' righteousness feeds the hunger, it fills the void, it truly satisfies. But there's even more to this hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see, Jesus is speaking these words in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, he's trying to help us see what kinds of attitudes of the heart, what kinds of actions will truly help us feel fulfilled and satisfied. Blessed, happy, he says over and over again, are those who show mercy, who are pure in heart, who are peacemakers. Happy because their hearts are in sync with God's. You see, God not only created us to find infinite joy in relationship with him, but also to experience that infinite joy as we become more and more like him. When our relationships with others are characterized by mercy and forgiveness and grace. And again, even people who don't know God have this hunger. I mean, we all want to live in a world where mercy and love, where forgiveness and justice rule. Because God has created us to find fulfillment when we are a part of making that happen. So where am I going with all this? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What is finally going to satisfy the deep hunger within you? Connecting with God, feeding on his word, growing in your understanding of his love for you and for everyone else around you, and not stopping there, but then going ahead and living what you learn from God in your life. That is going to fill you, satisfy you like nothing else in this world can. Now, we at St. Paul's are passionate about helping you discover and to live God's infinite joy in your life. And so we are committed to creating worship services every week that feed that hunger and help you to grow. We are committed to providing Bible study opportunities and small group experiences that will help you dig deeper into God's word on a personal level. We are committed to youth spiritual growth, to Kids Club and Boost, which begin today, to TUG, our high school ministry, to our Lutheran Christian elementary school, to our Lutheran high school, to Awake and Alive, our young people's ministry. We would love to get you set up on a personal daily Bible reading program and connect you with daily devotional materials. If you are not serving in any way, we have individuals on staff who are passionate about connecting you with that opportunity to live Christ's love and mercy in your life. Now, do we always get it right? Do we always meet that goal? Do our sermons always hit the mark? What you're looking for that day? Do our Bible studies and our religion classes always have you on the edge of your seat? Well, we recognize that there's another very important factor here. I want you to look for a moment at this young boy. That boy's hungry. You put anything in front of him, anything that's edible, and it's going to look like a steak dinner, isn't it? Because he knows that he is hungry. We are passionate about connecting you to Jesus because we believe with all our heart that that is what you hunger for more than anything else, whether you realize it or not. But all we can do is provide the opportunities. The rest finally is up to you. How hungry are you for the food that truly satisfies? I want to take a moment just to address the young people who are here today, because you have your whole life in front of you, and this is when you set the course. You know, we notice even in the fairy tales of youth this hunger and thirst for righteousness, for something more, for something greater. But I encourage you not to settle for the make-believe of this world. Things that are just an illusion that we think have meaning. Don't just make believe that you're the prince who leads the army, your army, out against the forces of evil and risks your life to do the right thing and save the kingdom. Don't just make believe that you are the captive princess who escapes from the villain's dungeon, crossing swollen rivers and fighting off snake-infested deserts in order to warn the king of impending danger. Don't settle for the make-believe, which is really what life in this world is if it's not centered on Jesus. But grow up to be that princess. Grow up to be that prince. Make it your passion, your hunger, your thirst to do everything you can to grow in your understanding of Jesus and his love for you. Long every day to become more and more like him, so that you look at everyone around you like he does, as someone whom he loves. We live in a world that is so full of hatred and greed and selfishness, but you are not of this world. Be Jesus to this world. Start with your classmates, your teammates, your neighbors, and maybe even your brothers and sisters. And to the rest of us, I say, it is never too late. We never grow out of growing up spiritually. What we should do is we should find inspiration in the example of our youth. Marvel at how they are enthused about learning, their simple and their unquestioning faith. They're not running after careers and money and possessions. They finally are happy, sincerely happy, just knowing that Jesus loves them. And he's going to be there to accompany them through their life's journey. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They're hungry. They're hungry to know more, and they're hungry to be more. Are you? Amen. Please stand. And now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.